the premier food podcast from the Georgetown Voice. My name is Erica Bullock, and I am joined today by... You guys are back. I'm so excited. Introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Danielle.
And I'm Daniel.
Oh.
Daniel Lettler back. I'm so excited.
Wait, that's an even better way of saying our names.
Than before.
Daniel L.
Okay, so we have a very exciting taste test this week, and I think it's partially informed by our laziness.
Would you say it's uber exciting?
It's uber.
Oh, it's uber exciting.
This week, we are reviewing the takeout process, the delivery process of Uber Eats. We're all really excited. So this is kind of a taste test about us eating dinner in a lazy fashion, but also giving you some fun history about the history of delivery foods and where we are today.
Yeah, and laziness is a hallmark of our podcast.
It is.
Yes.
That's how I eat all my meals.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately for our stomachs.
We're going to have one podcast at some point that is not laziness. We'll find it.
We'll do Facebook meal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, be great. I'm actually really excited for that one.
We could do a live dinner at a restaurant.
That would be cool.
Sound
pull out, great.
Pull out the microphone.
John Watts' head would explode.
Microphone.
All right, so as per usual with taste tests, we're going to do a little bit of history. Then we're going to taste some of these takeout foods and also talk about the general delivery experience of Uber Eats and what we thought about pricing, delivery time, kindness of deliverer, etc.
Sure.
Cool. All right. Let's go back to Pompeii.
Do we have to?
You don't have a choice. Let's take a little trip. So actually, in the history of takeout and delivery, Pompeii and ancient Aztec cultures are like the two places where takeout restaurants were kind of first seen. That's kind of a fun fact, but also where I'm deciding to start this history.
Okay.
Delivery food itself, from this article I found on tarobites.com, says that delivery food can be traced back to 14th century Paris. Butchers would, you know, do the usual carving of the meat, and then they would send it out to well-to-do families straight to their homes so they didn't have to, you know, dirty their little feet.
Of course. Walk through the streets with all the disgusting porn.
And also in Mumbai in the 19th century, people would bring home-cooked foods to workers as well.
Oh, cool.
So that's another... trying to go global with this one.
Right.
Let's see. Modern use. So 1922 is when they think that Chinese restaurants actually began delivery services in Los Angeles. So Chinese takeout is kind of big because it also kind of started the delivery trend. So that was by Kin Chu Cafe in LA. And they said...
Is that a restaurant that still exists?
I don't know. We should check it out.
We should go.
It could be another
taste
test.
That could be the site of our live taping.
Live taste test. So that's in 1922. And there are also references in the 1950s to a lot of restaurants beginning to do delivery services in order to combat the amount of service they were not giving because people were staying at home watching TV when televisions first became a thing. Shout out to the 50s and to television for ruining our lives.
Yeah, and the TV dinners that ruined the linings of our stomachs.
Yeah, of course. It's all coming back to TV. And also, during the World War II, I think, in London, there was a group called the Women's Volunteer Service who delivered food to people who had lost their homes in the bombings of when the Germans bombed London. So that's another instance of food delivery. And, of course, who could forget pizza?
Pizza?
In 1944, that's kind of the first reference to pizza delivery becoming a thing. 1944, right? Yes. Oh, no, 1961. I'm so sorry. I went backwards. So the next point in my history timeline is 1997, which is when we have the first instance of online menus from restaurants.
That's a pretty big jump.
Really?
It is a big jump because there was a lot of confusing things. And if you guys are interested in articles, go to ezinearticles.com. That's where I found one. Okay. Taro Bites, spelled T-A-R-O Bites. Uh-huh.
Like the veggie.
Eating, yes.
Ooh, okay.
And Time, of course, because Time has a lot of weird food history articles.
They've been out for a long time. Yeah. They just went out of it.
Wait, Daniel, why does 97 surprise you as far as, like, when online menus first appeared?
I don't know. It just seems like, I don't know, the 90s seems like a time when, like, the internet was just starting up.
Yeah.
So does that seem, like, early?
It seems early.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Well, the internet came out in, what, 95?
Before. But, I mean, like, the internet, like, first started in the 70s.
Well, yes,
like,
but, like, when,
yeah,
like,
ARPANET and DARPANET and, like, yeah.
But like, I'm probably imagining it too sophisticated. It's probably, like, a really crap website.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
oh,
word thing, art and
that's
shit.
Like, yes.
Yeah. Think basic HTML file.
Right.
Yeah.
That's probably what this was.
Yeah, no.
It was, like, revolutionary.
And, like, people started, putting a bunch of stuff on the internet, like, at a time. Like,
yeah.
They started Slate in, like, 95 as, like, an online only thing.
I guess I got to brush up on my internet history.
Actually, 96.
Then.
Yeah.
So. This year I was born. It's 20 years.
Yeah, it's their 20 years anniversary this year.
And, anyways...
Sorry.
No, it's just Steve anniversaries. Seamless is celebrating one soon. I'm kidding. So Seamless was the first instance
of Seamless.
Seamless was the first instance of mobile app delivery service.
Oh, when is that?
That was in December 1999.
Oh.
And yes, that was the first instance of online food ordering.
That seems so early.
That is really early.
Yeah.
It is very early.
Because, like,
really
you wouldn't think that people would be putting in, like, payment information
like,
and stuff.
Yeah, like, that kind of stuff doesn't seem... Maybe they were just paying cash at the
like,
door.
Yeah, and that probably makes sense.
But I don't know, that kind of, like, the stuff... Because I feel like that's very, like, a very now thing. Like,
mm-hmm.
Order it online.
I can explain why it's now.
Why is
because
it now?
It's part of my fun fact and history. So Uber Eats, the company that we ordered from today, was founded in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
In that same year, venture capital invested $1 billion in like online mobile delivery food services.
Right.
So that's probably why we've seen such an upsurge in the
but
past,
yeah,
because they're getting all this money to actually
but
execute.
I'm also thinking about like in terms of like Amazon, like that kind of thing. Really,
like just like the culture of getting things delivered.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
like not something that existed in the 90s. I don't
know.
No,
it did. Remember 14th century Paris?
It's been around for a while.
Whatever. This is like the problem of us like retroactively looking at periods where we didn't really exist.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I existed in 99.
I mean, yeah, like existed, but like, were you cognizant of anything
very
happening?
Aware
like,
lady.
Like, and I.
Danielle's on the 1997 online menu being like, the word art.
If they had only used better HTML here, like.
Better HTML.
One day
that's
they're going to invite
works.
Something called Python.
Bootstrap.
Actually, I invented Python, so
that
was me as a 4-year-old.
Thank you.
From coding to delivery codes.
Oh,
let's get back.
No.
I've just a few more fun facts.
You're so good at segues.
Thank you.
So
my other fun fact is apparently Leonardo da Vinci had a model for a delivery cart for hot dogs.
What?
Locally.
That
apparently.
Guy had an idea for literally everything.
Wait,
oh,
that's
wait,
true.
Wait. Like hot dogs?
Frankfurter.
Like
delivery service.
No, I know what a hot dog cart is. Like,
yes, I'm saying. Like, that's impressive. I feel like he just, like, sat and thought
about
it.
Like, a hot dog cart is literally a box on wheels with, like a handle.
Right, someone had to think about it.
Not that impressive. Compared to his, like, almost helicopter. Like, nah, that's, like, not even close.
But, I mean, not every idea has to be a joke. Okay.
I know I would start an argument over invention in general. My last fun fact, which is kind of sad. So... the first pizza delivery, they were very strict about order minimums. You had to place an order of at least $2.50.
Was pizza...
Everything was cheaper.
Oh, that's true. How much was a pizza back then?
Probably less
like
than $2.
Probably less than $2.50.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
So that is kind of a weird patchwork of food delivery history.
I love it.
And here we are now in 2016 using Uber Eats, founded in 2014, and we have some really fun foods to try. This is we're literally eating dinner.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
This is straight up dinner.
So excited.
So let's real quick go over how we ordered, what we ordered, and then we'll just taste it and then continue to eat it after this podcast.
Yep, definitely. How did we order, Erica?
Well, I got a text message saying, you want to do the Uber Eats podcast tonight? And chaos ensued.
Here
we are. To order over Uber Eats, you have to actually download a separate app. I thought it was built into Uber.
So it used to be.
A little bit disappointed.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because I can get over the download of one more app. Yeah. Really, I can. So you go onto the Uber Eats interface, which is pretty nice.
It's
like
really
it.
Nice.
I found it a little bit confusing.
Really? I don't like, so you put in your delivery location first, and then it brings up a list of restaurants that are open and kind of nearby, and it gives you their name, kind of like a nice picture of the sort of food they have, but it's like very
It's a very generic picture often.
It's
it's not actually one of
chicken on a rotisserie.
Exactly.
So you. and then it gives you a time for about
actually,
how much.
Actually, the chicken is bomb. I've had it.
And it also gives you kind of a quick lowdown on what kind of food it is, and then a price through dollar signs, which is, we've seen that in, like, Yelp before.
Yeah.
The thing I don't like about the front user interface is that it's just a single scroll through all the restaurants.
Right.
So it's like, what if I
you can
see,
search,
like,
though.
Tiles? You can search, that is true. You can search
tiles.
You can search, but tiles would be better, and also it just seems like a lot of the things that you have to get through search, you should be able to get through, like, a side menu or something.
Yeah.
And I guess this is kind of like, ooh, it's like food discovery. Like, you're just supposed to be, like, going through.
I think there actually is kind of an aspect of that. Like, I do like the fact that, like, it's kind of, like, restaurants I haven't seen before.
Right.
And so, like, yeah, that chicken on a skewer, it's, like, Peruvian chicken.
Oh, that's
it's
a different bomb. Chicken rotisserie.
Yeah, but...
in, like, at least three other photos of chicken rotisserie.
But, like, it's good chicken. So, like, I wouldn't have, like, known that was
in
my area. And then Eric and I the other day tried this, like, cookie jar DC thing, which is just, like, a jar of, like, edible cookie dough that they deliver. It was really good. It was, like, debatably
like
a jar.
I'm pretty sure you can eat any cookie dough.
I mean, no, well, actually, not true. Okay, one that you don't have to fear getting salmonella from.
Fair.
Yes. But, yeah,
which
and it was really good.
Not something that'll happen. Continue.
Oh my God. Yeah, whatever.
I scoff in the face of fear. Okay. What else? I don't know.
And, like, also Paradiso orders. That's, like, means nothing to, like...
Why would you order Pizza Paradiso?
Because I don't want to walk all the way down to M Street.
But, like...
All the way down.
This is, like, I think Danielle doing these podcasts is just illuminating to the entire world just the level of your laziness.
I'm fine with that. I am who I am. I know what I'm about.
I feel like Pizza Paradiso is, like, appeal is in its environment and, like, in the actual restaurant.
It's interesting that they would create a retroactive delivery service for pizza that is supposed to be in-house pizza.
Right.
Because they're, like, classy, so they're not, like, a delivery
pizza. Of course.
Pizza
That's another
like...
thing about Uber Eats is it brings, like, a classiness to,
delivery and
service.
And, the idea is that, like, it's not necessarily places that you could get delivery from otherwise.
Yeah.
It does. It kind of ups delivery to kind of a, I'm getting food delivered tonight.
Yes.
Rather than I just need Chinese food right now.
Right. And the problem with that is that it's like kind of a fake distinction. Like,
yeah.
It's really that you're just getting food delivered and it's just more expensive.
Yeah.
Because
$5 delivery.
Yeah. Uber Eats is not cheap.
It's not cheap.
Like, I ordered Indian food and I got one dish, and without the coupon that I got so gratefully from Erica, it would have cost over
$20. I'm the hostess with the mostest coupons.
Yeah, and I paid $11.42 for it now, which is, like, pretty solid for Indian food.
My food dish, so I got a burrito, and that is not spelled like the normal burrito. That is, like, a sushi burrito.
Burrito is how it's spelled.
Burrito.
Yeah.
Anyways, I got it, and it was $10.75. And the delivery fee made it $16.75.
Which is, like, a lot.
Which is, like, that's not worth this little guy.
Yeah,
you know?
It's not very big.
Yeah.
Danielle, what did you get?
I got red, white, and basil. And it's Italian food. And it was $22 with the delivery fee. But I also got garlic bread.
So you got, like, an entree and an
app. Yeah.
Which is, like,
garlic bread.
Entree and app is, like, not...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can combine the prices and split them evenly.
Yeah,
I'd
that's
say
fine.
That's fair.
Yeah, I bought chicken tikka masala. Because I was like, this is what I've been wanting for a while.
Mm-hmm. So which one do we want to try first?
I don't know.
What do we feel like an appetizer?
I say let's try the one that, like, maybe, like,
The chicken tikka?
No, I say the pasta, then the chicken tikka, then the sushi rito.
Okay.
Because the sushi rito needs to be cold.
Right.
Like, it's cold, and then that has been sitting, and that's...
Okay.
Great. Yeah,
let's do
the pasta. What kind of pasta is it?
It's rigatoni with bolognese.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And this is in your standard takeout container.
Bolognese.
They come
Ooh.
In... So the way it works is the person comes from let me try this again.
Yeah.
The food comes from the specific restaurant in the packaging of the restaurant's takeout.
Yeah. I'll talk about, like, my experience deliver.
So
yeah, so I've gotten Uber Eats before, and I guess my address was like put into the thing. So when I ordered it, it was supposed to go to my apartment. We are not at my apartment.
Correct.
So the one gripe I have, it like worked fine. Like he got here in a timely fashion and he didn't go to my apartment, but you had to call to change the address. You couldn't just like click into the thing.
You were on the phone for like a solid 10 minutes.
Yeah. Being like, hey, I screwed up. Like, can you please get this to a different place? And so that was like a little annoying, but like the customer service lady was fine. And like,
and the delivery didn't take that long.
Yeah, delivery didn't take long. The guy texted me.
I mean, it took like 40 minutes.
Okay, but like we were ordering from around town. You know? It wasn't like a local place.
Like my food came from Shaw, which is a neighborhood that takes like 35 minutes to get to by bus.
Yeah, so that's pretty good.
So it's pretty solid.
So
the guy got here and he texted me and he said, "Eats awaits." It was cute.
All right, so thinking about this pasta, it smells good. Mm-hmm. What is a special about bolognese sauce?
It's meat sauce.
It's meat sauce.
Ooh.
Looks like pretty solid rigatoni pasta. Mm-hmm. Nothing super fancy. How does it taste to you?
It's delicious.
It's good.
It's just like, it's hearty and warm. It's been a cold day today, guys.
Yeah.
It turned rainy real quick. And this is just like a nice warm thing to eat.
Yeah.
Also, this garlic bread I really like because it's got like a little spice to it. I think they put like crushed red pepper on it. And then they give you like olive oil with like the whatever spices they put in it. It's good.
I think this is fine.
I'm a fan.
Like, I feel like this is not something that
I wouldn't order this. Like, I would just make it.
I would. This is like, this seems like very easily makeable.
I would order it.
And guess what she did?
Danielle, you could definitely make this if you tried like a little bit.
But I don't.
Well, I know.
But the problem is that
yeah. So, like, this is fine.
Garlic bread is good.
The garlic bread is good.
It is good.
Yeah, it's got the I really do like the red pepper. That is a lot of fun.
And you can dip the garlic bread
in the pasta.
Isn't a, like, super saucy pasta that you can get, like, a ton out.
I mean, bolognese is kind of, like, not super saucy, so that's fine.
I'm not saying, like, that's because this is bad bolognese or anything. This is, like, it's exactly the right kind of pasta for what it is.
I would recommend going to this place.
Yeah, red, white, and basil oil.
And I'm really glad that Uber Eats was able to bring this experience to me without my effort.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Indian food.
Cool. Number two. We're going all over the world today.
Yeah, just like you said, the pot, you were trying to go global.
We really are. This is like hella global.
All right, okay. Smell it first. Smell it. Tell me how this chicken tikka smells.
Smells like chicken tikka.
Yeah, that's good.
Smells like chicken tikka.
I mean,
it's got, this one has like red peppers. It's got chunky vegetables in it. It's got some peppers and some onions.
That always seems like a bad sign to me.
Really?
Like, if a meal usually doesn't come with, like, chunky vegetables in it, it's always a bad sign.
Alright. I don't know. That seems like it could be good.
Yeah.
I've never had a meal, like, ruined by vegetables.
Not, like, ruined by it, but I feel like if you put that in there and it's not usually in there, it kind of, like, do you know how to make this meal?
Yeah.
Type of thing.
And right. Where is this from, Daniel?
Red Toke Cafe, I think is what it's called.
Is that a popular place?
I've actually never heard of it. I can't get a piece of chicken.
Yeah, I like that. It's
Red Toke Kebab is what it's called.
It's very sweet. Interesting. I wouldn't have thought chicken tikka from a kebab place. I like it. It's very good.
Yeah, it's decent.
It's in Shaw, you said?
It's in Shaw, yeah.
Hmm.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's very tomato-y.
Yeah. I was gonna say, it kind of tastes like red sauce. Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Yeah, it's like pretty good. It's like decent chicken tikka.
Yeah.
I wanted it to be spicier.
Yeah, that would be nice. But I don't hate it, and this is the kind of thing that I would order, because I don't really know where to get any sort of Indian-esque food.
Yeah, and chicken tikka is also, like, very difficult to make, because you have to do, like, a lot of marinating.
I'm gonna say if you want chicken tikka, I wouldn't get this. It's very tomato-y.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, too tomato-y.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not very authentic, too.
Yeah.
No.
It's the vegetables. But
then again, chicken tikka is not, an actually authentic Indian food.
Really?
No,
it was made
in, like, Scotland.
This is going to be a taste test.
Is Panda Express also not authentic Chinese food?
Huh?
Oh, wow.
Is Panda Express not authentic Chinese food?
Wait, you what?
But also, chunky vegetables. It was a sign.
No. It's just like, no, chicken tikka masala is not an Indian dish.
I know, but I'm like, it's not bad.
They make it in India now. Because it's delicious.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's not bad, but I'm saying they don't know how to properly make the dish, therefore, it was the vegetables was the sign.
Okay.
All right.
Alright, so that's okay.
Transitioning from one rice to the next. Here we go.
Now this is going to be kind of fun.
This is our exciting one. This is the one that so I'm from San Francisco, and in San Francisco they have Sushi Rito, which is something that all my friends were like, oh my god, you gotta try it at one point, and then I never did. And now here we are in DC, and they have one called Burrito.
B-U-R-E-D-O.
Yes.
Yeah. You've never had this before?
I've never had this before.
Well, Daniel, you and I have both had this.
I've been to Burrito, yeah.
Yeah, I have also been.
So we have two halves. Who wants to...
Here, you can take one half, and then Danielle and I will split the other
okay.
one. Since you've never had this.
I've never had this. So Burrito, if you don't know and you're living under a rock, is
also, weren't listening to you either.
It's
just a very large sushi burrito.
It's like a... Yeah.
It's humongous.
Sushi. What do you want to do?
And we got one.
Man.
Do you have a knife?
There's a knife. Yeah, one of the dishes came with a knife.
We got one that has salmon sashimi and asparagus and some other fun little
asparagus
pickled things in there.
Asparagus?
Yeah.
Oh.
Asparagus and salmon are a very common combination. They're just not very authentic, obviously. Cool.
All right. How does it stack up, Erica? Initial impressions.
I'm realizing that the reason I like sushi is because it's small. This has a lot of mayonnaise in it.
Oh, yeah, this isn't very sushi-y. This is probably, like, the least sushi of the ones that they have. This tastes like a dish that's not sushi.
Yeah.
There's just so much mayonnaise.
Mm.
Why would you put mayonnaise in sushi?
Mm, mayo and sushi is good.
Sorry, what was that?
Mayo and sushi is, like, really good.
Talk with your mouth full.
I worked in a sushi kiosk 2 summers ago, and there were a couple of really excellent rolls that had, like, spicy mayo or like wasabi mayo on them,
like a crunchy tuna roll.
Yeah, like one of those, or yeah, it's just like any of our spicy rolls usually had this like spicy wasabi mayo type stuff on it. It's like pretty good. This is decent.
Yeah, it's pretty decent.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think if I was eating like one of these, I could finish it. This is like a lot.
Hmm.
I like it.
Yeah, this is better than the one I had over the summer actually.
Oh. Well, that's good.
I think I like the one I had better just because I think this is like less sushi than I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because does salmon usually come in sushi?
Yeah, you need salmon rolls.
I'm just not a sushi person, apparently. Oh, yeah, you can.
Sashimi you would not put in a sushi roll, usually.
Sashimi is different from sushi.
Sashimi
is just the
Didn't
raw
you say
fish.
It was salmon sashimi?
Well, because it's just the raw fish.
Like, right, yeah.
If that were...
Right, and so they wouldn't... Like, if it was authentic sushi, they wouldn't put the salmon in sushi.
Yeah.
Like, it'd just be on its own. I also...
Mm.
When I went to Japan... No, they wouldn't. Like, they, you would
have salmon rolls.
Yeah, but it's not sashimi then.
Salmon sin skin roll? Remember that episode yet?
The what?
Friends.
No, I haven't come along.
Unagi.
Oh my gosh, Daniel. Blah, blah, blah. Fun fact, everyone, we're also going to be doing a taste test with Mike Bergen because he worked at a sushi restaurant for about 3 years.
That long?
And he's going to help us review some fun sushi.
That's super fun.
That's awesome.
Preview.
You need to stop talking with your mouth full.
Look, I can't help it, all right? I just have so many thoughts.
Okay, rank them.
Rank them?
I would say Italian, sushi, Indian food.
Yep, same.
I like the Indian food. I feel like I could make the pasta by myself. And the sushi rito is different, but a lot. I would be most inclined to order the Indian food.
That's like, I totally agree with Danielle just based on taste alone. Like... I thought, like, the sushi burrito is fine, and I don't think it's ever something I'd want to, like, eat a whole thing of.
Mm-hmm. I think it's, like, a fun thing, like, let's cook a sushi burrito.
Right. And, like, I didn't, like, the Indian food is okay. The pasta is, like, solid, even though I could definitely, like, I think I can make
but
it.
But also the garlic bread.
But also the garlic bread solid, is pretty good.
So.
Would you guys use Uber Eats again, or would you want to try a different service?
I don't think I would use this. Like, honestly, I would, like... order YZ's over getting any of these.
Really?
Like, unless... Because, like, I wouldn't pay, like, $60 for this sushi burrito. I would not pay $20 for that Indian food. Mm-hmm. I would not pay $60 for the pasta.
True. This is not $20.
Like, I'd much rather pay $7 and get chicken tikkas.
Okay.
That's true. But the best one... I'm gonna put a plug in there for that Peruvian place. It's called... I forget what it's called. It's, like, one of the Peruvian chicken places.
Super
they
helpful.
Give you, like, a ton of food. So, I can look at it. They give you like a ton of food, so that's nice. So I just save it for the next day.
Cool,
which is good because they give you like you can get like a half chicken or a whole chicken and like, two sides, but they give you like a ton of sides. So yeah, that one's solid.
Mm.
So I would say maybe not for, like, unless you're, like, doing a thing like this. I don't know. But, like, maybe get, like, one of the bigger meals that you can split over 2 days, which is nice.
I can also say there is this one place called Donbury in Adams Morgan, which is a...
Oh, yeah.
A chirashi bowl exclusive Japanese restaurant. Very good. Very busy place. Would totally order that on Uber Eats.
Okay.
Other than that, don't think I would do this very often.
Yeah, see, I have no problem with the platform. Like, I had a very nice experience ordering Uber Eats and stuff. I just, like, don't particularly like much of the food we got, which is, like, partially my fault, so. Yeah. But, like, the pasta's good. Yeah. It's, like, good pasta. Good,
yeah. All right. Well, next final question. Should venture capital invest in Uber Eats in the future? Yes or no?
I mean, if is Uber Eats making money? Because I don't think venture capital cares as long as it's making money, right?
True. Fair.
Businesswoman.
10x, is it 10x growthing? Are they 10xers?
That's a great question.
Hmm.
Who knows?
Who knows? We're just here to eat the food.
I don't think they're doing any social good. Like, other than making people more likely to be lazier, which doesn't seem like a social good. Danielle.
It's fine.
All right, with that...
Well, what a morbid ending.
I think it is time to wrap up Taste Test. Thank you guys so much for being here. This was lovely.
Yeah.
It's been
wonderful.
If you mildly enjoyed this very rambling podcast, you can feel free to listen to more on the Voice Podcast Network.
Danielle, can you pass the olive oil?
Great. And you can find that on any of your favorite podcast apps or websites or iTunes. You can also follow us, the Georgetown Voice. We have a Facebook page. We also have a Twitter, at GTown Voice. Follow Halftime at Halftime GU on Twitter. And you can follow me if you want to. I mean, I'm not going to ramble like this in my tweets because they're too short. But if you want to follow me, Erica A. Bullock, that's Erica with a K, and Bullock like Sandra, Danielle.
No relation.
Thank God you're back.
We missed you.
What are your guys'
Twitter? No!
Oh, jeez. Pasta.
Dropped a noodle. My Twitter is at drvarg01.
Mine's at dnhewitt96.
Did I spill that on your pants?
You did it on my pants.
The music that you're hearing right now alongside our crunching is from Ben Sounds. That's Ben, like B-E-N, and Sounds like S-O-U-N-D-S.
Minus the S.
Oh, it's just Ben Sound?
Yeah.
No.
Oh. I told you this last time.
No, I forgot. Well, thanks for listening, and we're going to keep eating our food.
Yep.
Okay, bye.
Bye.